Any relationship includes conversation. Pastor Ray Bentley says don't be afraid to converse with the Lord, and be sure to bring your questions with you.
How can I experience this promise or this life of Jesus in me? You've made this promise. How are you going to do it, Lord? It's okay to ask questions. Questions mean give and take, back and forth, conversation, relationship. God likes that.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. God is big enough to handle our questions. Nothing's going to catch him by surprise. And Mary certainly had questions when she was told she would bear the Christ child. Maybe you have questions for the unusual predicament you're in. Well, today, Pastor Ray helps you bring those doubts, those questions, those concerns to the Lord.
All right, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. And it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, the angel Gabriel comes to this young girl. She is in Nazareth. Nazareth really was not a town that was very extraordinary. It was a town that was kind of on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And by the way, the whole Jerusalem, to give you just a little geography here, Jerusalem is in the southern part of Israel. And people who lived in the south, and in particular, the closer you lived to Jerusalem, and especially if you lived in Jerusalem, felt a little bit better or a little bit holier than all the other poor people who lived further away. So they kind of had an attitude that the Jews who lived up there around Galilee were less spiritually minded. They were not as holy, and so they were not esteemed or held in high view. Now, let's go into the heaven of heavens. Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, looking down from heaven to the earth, where would he find a young girl that would become the home for his son, the Messiah? He looks through all the cities. And where does he go? He goes to Nazareth, a place of low esteem. And then within Nazareth, he picks a family that is extremely poor. They have nothing. Joseph is espoused to Mary. She is a virgin. Now, being espoused, legally, they're married. Legally, they're husband and wife. But they haven't had the marriage ceremony yet. And the only way to get out of it, even though you haven't had the marriage ceremony, even though you haven't consummated the marriage, the only way to get out of it is by divorce. So God chooses this young, poor couple in the northern part of Israel that lives in the village of Nazareth, and to them, now God sends his mighty cherubim named Gabriel. Now, as we go on in the next few verses and talk about Mary and the birth of this child inside of her, I want to do more than just do a Bible study about the angel and the announcement and so forth. I want you to think about this for personal application and say it from the beginning as we go through. This is the story of Jesus Christ being born literally in Mary. And may I say that there is a connecting of the dots from this story 2,000 years ago in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 to you and to me. In other words, I think Mary is a model for all those who desire to have Christ born, manifest, and living inside of them. Mary was not the end-all, be-all. She was the beginning of the ultimate goal, because Christ wanted to be born not only in Mary, but Christ wanted to be born and for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's described by Jesus himself to a rabbi named Nicodemus as being what? Born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. But that Christ is born in you, formed in you, born you and I being born again. So with that in mind, I hope you will look at this a little more closely and a little more personally. How is it that we might learn from Mary as a model of how Christ is born in us? Okay, verses 28 and 29. And having come in, the angel, so again, back to verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. All right, the first thing that we notice, the angel Gabriel comes, and the first thing he says is, rejoice, joy. When God begins speaking to you, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and when Christ is born in you, one of the first things that he wants to bring is joy. And then he says, for the Lord is with you. May I say to you tonight, the Lord is with you also. God's favor is always his divine presence. The presence of the Lord is with you tonight. The presence of the Lord is in you tonight if you know and trust Jesus Christ. If you don't, by the end of the service, I'll give you an opportunity to ask this great, amazing God to be in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. But he is with you. His favor is with you. Now, when Mary heard these things, the angel has just said, probably totally blown her mind to see an archangel, Gabriel, and he says, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. She considered these things, pondered these things, thought about these things, meditated upon these things. This was the word of the Lord to her, and she pondered those things. And may I say to you, that's the sign of someone whom Christ is being born in them. God makes amazing, glorious promises to them, and they think about them, they ponder them, they meditate upon them. Their mind becomes steeped in them. Because this book is supernatural. It has a divine origin. It is the Word of God with the life of God in it, the power of God in it, the presence of God in it, the Spirit of God in it. And through the Word of God, he brings the presence of God and an extraordinary outcome in each one of your lives. All right, verses 30 through 33. It says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. In those verses, verses 30 through 33, Gabriel points Mary to the fulfillment of prophecy. And basically what you could say is in verses 30 through 33, Gabriel is interpreting 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 through 16, or he's putting those prophetic words into his own angelic words. In other words, Mary, you are going to be pregnant. You are going to call your son's name salvation, which is what Jesus means, Jehovah's salvation. He is going to be the Son of God, and he will be the Messiah, the one that you've longed for, waited for, hoped for, prayed for. You're the one, Mary, that will bring the Messiah, and he will sit upon the throne of David. The child will also be God's son. Now, this news must have been overwhelming, shocking, amazing, breathtaking for this poor little Mary.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. At Maranatha Radio, we've received so many cards, emails, and social media messages expressing appreciation for Pastor Ray's teaching.
I never met Pastor Ray, but I always loved listening to his teachings on the radio. I always felt the love of God, even in his laughter. He was my pastor too. We miss my brother very much and know he is rejoicing in the presence of our God, and we will see him one day.
Messages like that continue to be such a great encouragement to all of us at Maranatha Radio. If you'd like to send a message, just send it to ray@raybentley.com or post a comment online at raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man? I'm a young girl. We haven't had the consummation. I don't know a man. How in the world am I going to conceive?" She asks a question. And I want to say to you that if you are a child of God and the Lord is with you and he begins showing to you prophecy and things coming to pass and gives you promises, is it okay to ask questions? Yes. True believers ask God questions. He doesn't want us just sit there and be little robots and he said, you know, angels come and they make announcements, go, okay, and just keep our mouths shut, and then we walk off wondering. Because God already knows when we walk away, we're going to have questions anyway, right? He already knows that Mary was pondering and thinking, who, me, favored, highly, the Lord's with me? What? Why? And then he gives this prophecy. You're the fulfillment of the Davidic promise. You're going to have the Messiah, and he'll be the Son of God, and his name will be Jesus, the Savior of mankind. We don't know how old Mary is. I'm going to say between 14, maybe 16 years of age. She says, I've not known a man. How is this going to happen since I am a virgin? God, how is this possible? And I like to call it blessed inquisitiveness. God, here's how you and I might say it. How can I experience this promise or this life of Jesus in me? You've made this promise. How are you going to do it, Lord? It's okay to ask questions. Questions mean give and take, back and forth, conversation, relationship. God likes that. And he answered her question. The angel Gabriel did answer her question. Mary, I think, is a model. God will give you a promise. It's okay to say, Lord, how are you going to do this in my life? Now, look with me in verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. He says, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, Mary. He's going to overshadow you. Now that idea, the overshadowing, like a cloud overshadowing, that was the word that was used of the glory of the Lord in the Holy of Holies. It is the same word that is used when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain and a cloud overshadowed them. And here's, you know, we probably have even more questions. What exactly does that mean, the overshadowing of the Lord? I don't know exactly, but I do know this. Here's what I know about the shadow cloud of the Lord. It is the visible manifestation of the presence of God to those who are here on the earth. Whether the cloud, whether the pillar of fire, whether the cloud that overshadowed them on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's the presence of the glory of the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit and the glory cloud came at some point around Mary. She could see it, and I think that she could feel it. And there was the miracle of the divine conception that took place inside of her. Now, let me say this. If you ask Jesus to come inside of you, he brings the glory of the Holy Spirit within you. And even we read in the book of Acts that in the early days of the church, one day that Peter was walking around, and as he walked around on a sunny day, there was a time when people were running to get into Peter's what? Shadow. Because they said, if I can get in Peter's shadow, I will be healed. And apparently there were some who thought, well, if I can just get into his shadow, I'll be healed, who ran and got into his shadow and were healed. Obviously not by Peter, but by the one who overshadowed Peter. The presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord that was within him and around him, the presence of Jesus, that's also for you and I. And one day when Peter and John were walking into the temple, there was a lame man there asking for alms. Peter stopped. He looked at the man and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have, I give unto you." He reached down to the man that was lame and grabbed hold of his hand and said, "In the name of Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth, stand up and walk." The man stood up and walked. And then when he realized he was up and standing and walking, he began running and leaping and praising God right outside the temple. And the very thing that the Pharisees thought that they had ended when Jesus had been crucified was now happening again with his followers. And thus they began to call his followers Christians, or little Christ. It's like Jesus, once he was crucified, just multiplied afterwards, and everywhere people go that believe in him, dead people are being raised, and lame people are running around, and the blind are able to see, and the deaf are able to hear, and demons are cast out. Man, we've got a real problem on our hands. Yeah, you do. The kingdom of God has come in your midst. From the presence of the glory, the overshadowing of the Lord. And then let's close with verses 36 through 38. God's presence is with you, and it's with me. Verse 36, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Apparently Mary didn't know this. And by the way, poor Mary. You know, how are you going to explain this to people? Gabriel, you're the one who went to Daniel 500 years ago. "He came to me." Right. How are you going to explain it to poor Joseph? Joseph didn't even believe it. Until later, an angel had to come to him in a dream and say, "Joseph, calm down. It's okay. It's the Lord." But Mary would grow up the rest of her natural life having people whispering, saying, "Oh, you know about Mary. Illegitimate. Yeah, they got pregnant. They were espoused, but they hadn't had the marriage ceremony. Ooh, she got big." I don't know if they did or not, but I know this. She grew, had the child, and there was a suspicion all the years, even once Jesus was born and growing up in a small village, Nazareth. And there's Mary. There's her son. You know. And she couldn't wait. I mean, she really did. It was Gabriel. It was the angel. It's the Messiah. And he's 30 years old and nothing extraordinary really that he has done. Finally, they get invited to a wedding and they run out of wine. And she goes, "Jesus, they've run out of wine." And he says, "Mother, my hour has not yet come." I'm sure she was disappointed. She wanted him to prove who he was so that she could say to all of those who didn't believe, "See, I told you. It's the Messiah, was the angel Gabriel." I mean, a little bit wanting to take that off of her. And Jesus saying to her, "I know what you want, Mother, but even this miracle will not prove to them yet who I am. That hour will not come." And when, by the way, what hour was he talking about? The hour when he would finally prove who he was. When he went to the cross, just before the death, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and ascension, he said, "Now my hour has come. Now, Mom, now I'm going to show the whole world who I am. And the angel Gabriel did come to you, and I am the Ancient of Days, and I will conquer life, death, and darkness, and I will resurrect for all time and eternity. But a sword shall pierce your heart in the meantime." So I'm sure that Mary, at this point, when the Gabriel says, "Your, you know, cousin Elizabeth has also had a child in her old age," Mary did not know this, and she thought, "Finally, I get somebody to that I can share with that will believe me," because she also had the experience with the angel, her husband, having heard from Gabriel. And then verse 37, he says, "For with God," this is Gabriel speaking, "for with God, nothing will be impossible." With God, nothing is impossible. God is able to do all things. And that's, he's able to bring his word to pass. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. May that be our sentence to the Lord for every promise that he has given to us in his word. "Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Let whatever you've promised be true for me. I'm ready to receive it." Amen? Amen. Okay, let's close our Bibles. And I want for you to exercise the muscle of your faith to perceive the presence of the Lord that is here tonight. Jesus is here tonight. And he loves you. And he has good things for you and promises for you. And it's interesting, the Bible talks about discerning the presence of the Lord. So you have to kind of, and that's what prayer is about, and that's what pondering is all about, and considering, and the idea of just waiting upon the Lord and letting your mind totally go to the things you know that are true about the spiritual realm, as the Bible describes it. First of all, we know that there are angels here tonight. We know that the Spirit of the Lord is here. We know that Jesus is here. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, so I am there in your midst. He is the Good Shepherd. He knows you. He loves you. He has things he wants to share with you, promises to give to you, things he wants to comfort you in, remind you of, encourage you about, and where you can talk to him. You can ask him questions. So this is a time where we examine our hearts and where we draw close to the Lord, where we commune with him. And sometimes maybe you just are in silence and awe and you just kind of rest and relax and you just receive the outpouring of his Spirit. Sometimes there's something bothering you that you want to ask him about and he'll speak to you. Maybe he'll bring somebody to mind to pray for. Maybe there is somebody that you need to forgive or somebody you need to receive forgiveness from. There's any one of a number of things that can take place because we all have our own personal relationship with him. But the biggest thing is to worship him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. If you are not a believer, you could pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart tonight. Because he said he stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them. So bow your heads and let me lead us in this prayer. And those who know the Lord, pray with me, pray out loud with me. Those who have never prayed this, but you would like to ask Christ and to know your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven. Or maybe you've been away from the Lord and not walking with the Lord and you're wanting to recommit your life to the Lord, then pray with us as well. But let's all pray. Pray out loud after me, after this manner. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I'm so sorry for everything that I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. I open the door of my heart, and I ask you to come into my life, to be my personal Lord and Savior. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, praying with those who've come to the Lord for forgiveness of sin. And if you prayed along with Pastor Ray today, let us invite you to go to raybentley.com. There, Pastor Ray will help you get started in your walk of faith. Now, today's study here on Maranatha Radio is titled The Shadow of His Presence. If you missed any part of the presentation, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you're there, you can leave a few words in tribute to Pastor Ray's life and ministry. And under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his new book called The Final Witness, an eye-opening prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full 5-book series called The Elijah Chronicles. You can too. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Luke. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.